Thanks for tuning in to this message from the Los Altos Grace Brethren Church. We hope this will be an encouragement to you. You can find out more messages and more about our church at www.lagbc.org.
To quote Jerry Bridges of Navigators, David Jeremiah, and Charles Stanley, all the activities of life should be pursued with the aim of glorifying God. Remember that God is more interested in heart than art in your singing or in whatever ministry you possess. He gives us talents to showcase His grace, not our glory. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord and for His honor alone. Our Creator made us with the purpose to glorify Him. In His word, God made it emphatic that we are to testify to His faithfulness and His mighty works. Praise is the very purpose for which we were created. So be prepared to join in with us shortly on our opening to God Be the Glory.
Say thanks for the things you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me.
Oh, was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe.
If we were to search Scripture, we'd find in Revelation chapter 5 these words. When the Lamb had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell before him, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which were the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. And you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them to be a kingdom of priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads and myriads, thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is with them singing, "To the one who sitteth on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and they worshiped.
Oh,
there is only one way to God. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's one of the least popular aspects of Christianity in this pluralistic society, for it is not politically correct. Never is it politically correct to make such dogmatic statements. But Jesus said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. In other words, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. Now that's pretty dramatic and dogmatic. Peter added, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given amongst men under heaven whereby we must be saved. There's something about that name. I know many of you know it. This time through, why don't you all sing along with me? Okay? All right. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. He's my master. My Savior, His name is just like the fragrance after the rain. Oh, sing Jesus, let all heaven. But there's something. Oh, yes, Jesus. You know, the mere mention of His name can calm a storm, it can heal the broken, it can even raise the dead. At the name of Jesus, sin-hardened men have melted. Derelicts have been transformed. The eyes of hope put back into the eyes, or the light of hope put back in the eyes of a hopeless child. At the name of Jesus, hatred and bitterness have turned to love and forgiveness. I would imagine many of you, like me, have seen a mother nursing a very ill infant, body racked with a fever, and watch that mother whisper the most precious name, Jesus, and see that fever just melt away. And I would imagine many of you, like myself, have been at the bedside of a dying saint whose body, racked with pain, in the last ebbing moments of their life was able to squeeze out that special, special name. Jesus. 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 And you see a light come on them, and the pain just seemed to go away. History tells us that emperors, they've tried to destroy it. Philosophies, they've tried to stamp it out. Tyrants and what we might hear in modern day call terrorists have tried to wipe it from the very face of the earth with the blood of those who claimed it. But saints, praise God, that name still stands. It still stands today. So after hearing all that, you know, it's not a mere coincidence that caused an angel to come down nearly 2,000 years ago and say to the Virgin Mary, his name shall be called what? What? Can't hear you. You know, folks, there is something about that name. Kings and kingdoms, they will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus. Thank you.
you want to know how seriously God takes the issue of sin, look at the cross. Now, we like to think of the cross as an awesome expression of God's love, which it is. But we can't really understand its meaning or know the depth of God's love until we recognize something of his hatred towards sin. And the cross is where God's love and wrath collide. There are many verses in Scripture about God's wrath, which can be defined as his intense hatred of sin. Now, those who believe in Jesus Christ have eternal life, but those who don't live under the cloud of God's justice. And God hates sin because he knows it destroys everything it touches. God's perfect judgment or justice demanded that a penalty be paid for sin. So either he could condemn every single one of us to be eternally separated from him, which he has the right to do, or because of his love for us, he could direct his judgment towards someone else who could stand in our place.
They could not. they keep him in the grave? Could they keep him in the grave? Could they keep him in the grave? They could not. They could not. Praise God. They could not. And when at last they took from him what Willie
Can you imagine bearing the sin of all mankind? Christ was staring into a chalice of wrath and judgment that must have made his soul recoil. Mankind had filled it with the most depraved deeds and thoughts that they could conceive. According to Scripture, Jesus Christ did not just die for our sin, he became sin. The holy, perfect Lamb of God took upon himself all that was vile and dark. There is no way for us to measure that kind of pain and suffering.
Jesus knew. He knew the consequences of taking mankind's evil. God's holiness prevented him from being in the presence of sin. Therefore, the Heavenly Father would have to separate himself from the Son. Jesus had always enjoyed perfect oneness with God. To contemplate a wrenching rejection must have been terrifying and heartbreaking.
Jesus Christ sacrificed more than his life. He exchanged perfection for wickedness and holy union for separation. The Savior did this so we could be transformed into righteous men and women with an eternal future. No wonder all of heaven exalts him. We must do the same.
Through that awful act of extreme charity, God expressed his divine love and at the same time his intense wrath. Why? Because there was no way for him to declare guilty sinners righteous unless somebody took our place and paid our penalty. Apart from the cross, we are lost.
T'was a life filled with aimless desperation. Without hope, walked the shell of a man. Then a hand with a nail print stretched downward. Just one touch, and a new life began. I will praise him forever.
make a difference for me. And I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. And I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. I believe that the Christ who was slain on the cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely, and a new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. And I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. And I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to
I believe in Calvary. I believe in Him. I believe because He changed me completely.
The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. God sent His Son into the world that whoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God paid a ransom to save us from the empty lives we inherited from our ancestors. And the ransom He paid was not mere gold and silver. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He did this for you.
When you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit seals and prepares you for the day of redemption. This is not only a spiritual deliverance, it's a physical one as well. He will transform the body of its humble state into a conformity with the body of His glory. That means that just as Christ was resurrected bodily, so will you be. You'll be changed. The perishable will put on imperishable. The mortal will put on immortality, and your body will have left behind all its pains, all its problems, never again to face the sickness and suffering you felt here on earth.
Troubled, ye believe in God, believe
also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Your heart be troubled.
If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, sin cannot conquer you, and the grave has no hold over you. The battle is over. The victory has been won at the cross and at the empty tomb of Christ. Because Jesus lives, all who trust in him will live as well. And on that resurrection day, when the trumpet of God sounds, the dead in Christ will rise, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord.
Thank you.
And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a wonderful name.
King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen, right? We've been talking about Jesus. No other name. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other name has the power of Jesus. No other name can raise the dead, strengthen the living, save the lost, defeat the demons, delight the angels, and bear us through perilous times. Think about that. No other name. Only Christ. Only he could offer himself as a righteous sacrifice for our sin and shed his blood as an everlasting atonement. Now, if we reject Christ, we are rejecting the only possible means by which we can receive forgiveness and salvation. There is no other name, only Jesus. Through the scripture, God invites us to join his family. He took care of all the arrangements, and our part is simply to say yes. If you've never truly committed your life to Christ, consider today what he did on Calvary and how that transforming power of that one not so simple act could change your life today. He did it for you.
I kind of feel like saying what he said. Let me try to pull it all in. The scriptures tell us that Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the rightful ruler of the universe. And yet when he entered into this world, he left heaven. He was God, very God. He had nothing that he had to prove, and yet he left heaven. He entered into this world as a little baby and became a human being. And he did that for one reason and one reason only, and that's because God had to punish a human being. It wouldn't be enough just to punish the Son of God. It's our sin that needed to be cared for. So Jesus became one of us. He became a brother to us. And just like we inherited the sin of Adam, when Adam and Eve sinned together and rebelled against God, we can now inherit the righteousness that comes from God through Jesus Christ. In a sense, what happens is we change families. Jesus is now the head of the human race, if you want to look at it like that. And when we believe in him, when we trust that what he did on that cross was for us, the Bible says we're taken out of Adam and we're placed into Christ. We're taken out of death and we're given life. We're transplanted. We're given a new heritage, a new forefather, and that's Jesus himself. And so as we connect ourselves to him, we inherit from him his goodness, his righteousness. He paid the price for us, but more than that, God raised him from the dead. And that resurrection proves to us that that forgiveness belongs to us. It allows us to connect to Jesus in a way that says, as long as he lives, we live. We're a part of his family now. And that's what salvation really is. It's about taking us from a family that's doomed forever and placing us into a family that will live forever. Is that not awesome? Praise God. Praise God for the salvation that he offers to every single person. The Bible tells us that he was in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling himself to the world. That means God has come all this distance to us. He did everything necessary so that there's nothing that stands in the way between him and any one of us, except for us being willing to reconcile ourselves to him. When we choose Jesus, when we believe that he died for us, In that moment, we are reconciled to God, and everything's put right the way it's supposed to be. Forever. That's not a choice you've made yet. Then today's a day you can make it. They started off today by saying, let's start with the word thank you. As far as I'm concerned, that's all the faith that's necessary for you to receive the gift of salvation from God through Jesus. Is just look at what he did for you and say thank you. Because that acknowledges that God's the giver and you're the receiver. He wants to give you salvation. He wants to give you forgiveness. He wants to give you eternal life. He's taken all the steps he can. The only step that's left is for you to say thank you and receive that gift of eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you right now, we are so grateful, Lord, for the love that you showed us in Jesus. And we ask right now, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Those of us who have never trusted you, that, Lord, you would be speaking to our hearts right now, and that you would be convincing us of how much sense this makes, and that you would give us the courage to yield to you and to become yours, to receive that gift of eternal life. And for those of us, Lord, who have already received it, I pray that it would be a reminder that warms our hearts and strengthens our faith as we live every day for you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming, for saving us, and for being with us right now. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join with us in closing. To God be the glory.